One of the things that Western propaganda is designed to do is to prevent anyone from ever thinking about the world from the perspective of any country deemed adversarial or hostile. Can you describe to people why it is? Well, first of all, describe to people how Western involvement and U.S. involvement in Ukraine has looked since at least 2014, or even going back if you want, and why that is threatening to Russia.
So in our society, not just in mine, but that was...
But Russian society.
Russian society, yes, Russian people. That was a kind of clear hostile intervention of the power that really hated Russia. So we added ideology, woke globalism, liberalism that contradicted to our traditional values, and actions of the West, collective West, on the geopolitical level. So that was the kind of combination between ideological hostility and geopolitical hostility. And we have seen, we have interpreted that as creation of artificial anti-Russia in Ukraine, because the Ukrainians are the part of our, of the same people, the same church, and the part of us was cut and transformed in an artificial way by some kind of psyops in something radically different, aligned to us, and alien, and the absolute contradiction. So that was creation of the artificial identity with great racist nationalism and anti-Russian nationalism, and supported by the globalists, by the liberals, and by all the countries, starting from United States to European Union. Sometimes, some leaders, European leaders at that time, were...
Which time do you mean? Do you mean 2014?
14 something. Yeah, But starting from that and more and more and more, some of European leaders were a bit reluctant to promote this aggression, but this time, United States, Obama's administration, Nuland, for other globalists, Democrats, they pushed this agenda against European leaders in order to escalate relations between Russia and Ukraine. And after that, the other European leaders followed this tendency. They were involved more and more and more in Russophobia, and now, paradoxically, the origin of the hostility, the hatred to Russia, and most support to Ukraine is not from the United States, but from European Union.
Yeah, but I guess the question that a lot of people have listening to that is, well, yeah, that was done in Ukraine. Ukraine's a separate country, it's a sovereign country, was once part of the Soviet Union with Russia, but no longer is. Why is it threatening to Russia, if it is, to have such active U.S. and EU involvement in Ukraine?
Because Ukraine, in the history, didn't exist. It begins with the collapse of the Soviet Union, and the borders were not based on the ethnical, geopolitical, historical experience. That was just administrative province of Tsarist Empire first, and after that of the Soviet Union. Nobody cared about what ethnic groups, what religious groups lived there. So there, because that was the part of the same political and administrative space, the same state. And that was just the province of it. So nobody resolved the problem. You belong to this ethnic group or to the other. They were considered to be the part of the same Russian world, the same Russian people. And the collapse of the Soviet Union was made by the borders, administrative borders of the entities that never existed politically before.
But there was a Ukraine. I mean, we talked before the collapse of the Soviet Union.
There was not a Ukraine as state.
Right, but there was a Ukrainian
as promised,
identity.
As state, a state
within the Soviet Union.
That was a kind of Nebraska or
right.
Utah.
Right.
So you could say that is state, but it is not the national state, sovereign national state. That was just the province with very small amount of autonomy. So that was the just the part of unitarian state. And the collapse of the Soviet Union gave to this artificial entity the status of the sovereignty. Because the first leaders, Yeltsin, believed that we will be friends because we belong to the same civilization, and that was not the case. So when we have remarked, when we have understood that there is some anti-Russian movement, political, supported by the West, already in the 90s, but in the 90s nobody reacted properly against the threats and the challenges from the West. But with Putin, we started to take in consideration these processes in Ukraine. We tried to convince them to stay with us. We supported candidates from the east of Ukraine. We tried to convince oligarchs and political economical elite to deal with us, not prohibiting them to deal with the Europe or with the United States, but conserving some balance, natural balance, neutrality, some friendly relations with us, friendly relations with EU. But in some limits, and all the presidents of the Ukraine, including Yushchenko, who was very very pro-Western, they accepted this balance. So one president more pro-Russian, the other pro-Western, pro-Russian, pro-Western, but in the same,
not hostile toward
Russia, not radically hostile,
right,
to Russian, but and the coup on Maidan was precisely to destroy this balance. That was deliberately the step, the move to put the radical nationalist circles at the top, provoke Russian reaction in Crimea and elsewhere, and to divide, to cut Ukraine from Russia, including eastern part that originally in the beginning were almost absolutely in favor of Russia, but under propaganda, under demonization, under Western suggestions, that turned into the bloody mess. So this anti-Russian ideology has won over Ukrainian society, and they started to hate their own history, their own religion, thinking that the West is paradise and Russia is hell. And they were Russians that would like to escape so-called Russian hell that never existed. But that was.
Well, why is that a threat to Russia if that happens in this other sovereign state of Ukraine?
So
why is it a threat to Russia?
So
because you're talking here about internal Ukrainian politics.
But that is not so, because first of all, what is sovereign? If you are great power, only the other great powers are sovereign, in your opinion. All the rest is a hypocrisy. So if, for example, you imagine Mexico creating anti-US government and...
Or China doing so in Mexico. If China did so in Mexico, I guess it would be the analogy, right? China comes, instills anti-American sentiment.
Inside anti-American sentiment. And everybody in Mexico would think, let us hang the Yankee on the trees, as was the case in the Ukraine, and supply with a huge amount of the weapon and try to provoke United States on the border. So finally, you would understand us. That is not about neutrality or sovereignty. That is the direct challenge. And when you see the other geopolitical power, Western geopolitical power, supporting that and igniting that, fueling that, so you could understand Russian reaction. We acted very mild. Putin was the last who finally decided to intervene. So
there were sentiments inside Russia that that should have happened earlier.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now everybody, Putin as well, he has acknowledged that. So that was my opinion. But starting from 2014, I claimed that continuation of the conflicts is inevitable because collective West and the globalists, they will not stop. They will concentrate the powers. They will weaponize Ukraine in order to attack us, to get back the eastern territories, and this Minsk talks will lead to nothing. I declared that starting from 2014, and they have a kind of repressions against myself. I would cut from all the channels, all the TV channels. So not pressure, but ostracism.
Ostracism.
So something like that. So that was not physical or juridical, but I was fired from Moscow State University. So because I continue to say what I consider the situation is. And now
you feel vindicated.
Too huge price to that. So
celebrating. I just mean you believe that perspective that the West was intent on expanding and
that
expanding.
That was right. That was just right. And now it is acknowledged by Putin himself that he says we should start earlier.
Thanks for watching this clip from System Update, our live show that airs every Monday through Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern exclusively on Rumble. You can catch the full nightly shows live or view the backlog of episodes for free on our Rumble page. You can also find full episodes the morning after they air across all major podcasting platforms, including Spotify and Apple. All the information you need is linked below. We hope to see you there.